Good and gracious God, thank you for your love and joy that we share this morning. Wash over us your spirit. God, I pray that you will help me get out of the way. Touch my mind, my lips, my tongue, my voice, my heart especially, oh God, that I might proclaim your words, not mine. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I have a card here. We've been doing these so that you can put them in your Bible. You can put them somewhere that on your refrigerator, on your mirror in the bathroom, someplace that will remind you some of the things that we're talking about today. So if you did not get one of these, make sure you pick one up on the way out. We've been doing this sermon series entitled Healthy Habits, in which we're talking about the habits of our life. In the last few weeks, we've talked about worship and prayer. We've talked about priorities. Pastor Tim talked about forgiveness being a habit in our life last week. We all have habits, and some are healthy and some are not so healthy. Can I get an amen out of there? In fact, a couple of weeks ago, I talked a little about my unhealthy habit of checking social media all the time and how I weaned myself of looking at social media as much as I did in the past. Now, I still look at social media. I am Terry, and I look at social media. And so I still look at that, but I've weaned myself off the need of kind of pulling that up all the time. And so habits can be great, and habits can be not so great, but there are habits that are really good for us too, like brushing our teeth, right? I tell my grandchildren, just brush the ones you want to keep, you know? So brushing your teeth, walking and exercise, eating an apple, you know, those are good and healthy habits. Can you think of five habits, though, that make you feel good, that bring some joy into your life? Can you think of five habits that you have that bring some goodness and joy into your life? Well, one of my habits is to have, I'm just going to mention a couple, I'm not going to go all through them, but one of my habits is to have a good cup of coffee in the early of the morning with God in the quiet. I find joy in that. I found goodness of God in that habit. Another habit I have is to throw the frisbee to my dog Penny when it's pretty weather, to throw that frisbee and watch her run with her little ears flapping. You know, that brings joy into my life. It brings goodness into my life. Another is music. I love to listen to music, especially when I'm driving. Sing at the top of my lungs, maybe move a little bit behind the steering wheel. I've gotten some looks in the past as I'm driving down the road, like, what is that woman doing? So I love to listen to music. Habits fill our lives. In fact, habits that you might not even recognize as a habit, like sharing. That's what we're going to talk about today, sharing. As Pastor Tim said last week, the worship, prayer, and priorities focus toward our relationship with God. Those are the habits that we form in our relationship with God. And the habits like forgiveness of one another, habits like sharing, are those outward signs of our relationship with God. They're toward others. One of the habits that I find great joy in is having dinner with my husband, sharing that moment. I love those moments where we can sit down and have dinner together. And before COVID hit, we would have those date nights on Friday night where we would go out and spend just some time together, sharing that moment in a restaurant or sharing that time together. And one of the things that we love to do is share those moments with our friends and loved ones and part of our congregation. Times when we can grill some good steaks and have some people over to have some of our homegrown, family-raised beef. Ooh, those steaks are so good. They are so good. And we love to share that experience with others. What do you like to share? I know you can think of something that you like to share. A homemade jar of jelly or a good cookie recipe or cookies with the congregation. A homemade loaf of bread. And for you guys out there, some tools from your toolkit that you know your neighbor needs to fix their lawnmower. Something like that. More importantly, I want to ask this question. What joy do you experience in the sharing? What joy do you experience? In the midst, you are not just sharing a meal or a tool from the toolkit. You are sharing joy. You're sharing the joy that's in your own heart. But if I think about it, we're not born joyful, are we? We don't come from the womb saying, praise Jesus, do we? We're not born joyful. What's the first, one of the first common words a toddler will say? No, right? Or mine, right? That's kind of our nature. Sharing does not come naturally. We're taught to share from the time we're little children, especially if we have brothers or sisters. If you think back to your family of origin, what did you share? Some of you might say, well, I shared a room with my brother or sister, or I shared a bed if you have sisters, or I shared a bathroom, I shared a vehicle. There were some fights around that sharing, weren't there, if we were totally transparent today. My daughters used to get in the biggest fight over sharing mascara. They would get in these huge fights. My brother is 10 years older than I am. And so he was conditioned, really, to share with me. I was always wanting what he had. After all, he was cool. He was 10 years older than me, and I was a little girl. And my earliest memories of him, he was a teenage boy. He didn't want what I had because I played with dolls. But there was one thing that he wanted of mine, and that was my food. He loved sharing my food. In fact, when we would go to a restaurant with Mom and Dad, he would say, Mom, let her order anything she wants. I'll finish it. Now, some of you who have teenage boys in your household, you're thinking of your grocery bill right now, right? This boy could eat. He could eat. Now then, I'm just going to tell a little story on him, which my dad found fascinating. You know the family size boxes of Special K? Every single morning, Mom had to buy 7 of those a week. Yes. 7 of those a week. My brother would get the, he played football. He would get the mixing bowl out in the morning. He would take the sugar bowl and go into it. Pour the whole box of Special K into this mixing bowl, and the milk would go glug, 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 glug. And my dad would sit there just literally fascinated as he would eat this mixing bowl full of cereal every morning. This boy could eat. When it came to his food, he didn't really like to share that much. You know, sharing is a habit we learn. And, you know, as I said, we learn this from doing it. I've learned a lot from this book called Life Is, and there's a blank, written by Judah Smith. And this book really has helped me in my understanding around this healthy habit of sharing. And so sharing is this habit we learn because we are, it's not in our human nature. The problem is that human beings, we're not naturally loving, giving, and generous. We are selfish. Now, don't take that personally. It's just part of the human nature. It's our nature because we're born that way. In fact, the only power strong enough to overcome this own selfish desire is what, do you think? What is the only power that can overcome this nature within us? Love. It is the only power strong enough to overcome selfishness. Love is the opposite of selfishness. Love gives, selfishness takes. Mature love thinks about others, gives up for others, takes a back seat for others. In the letter to the church in Corinth, in the 13th chapter, the Apostle Paul pens something that we call the love chapter, and it's on your little handout, your little insert. I have put this on the Message translation. And I love when couples, we often hear this at weddings, don't we? We often hear this chapter at wedding ceremonies. And I love if the couple gives me the option to read it from the Message translation because it's beautiful. So let's go through this for just a moment. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Do you hear that one? Why don't you say that one with me? Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. Doesn't have a swelled head. Doesn't force itself on others. Let's read the next one together. Isn't always me first. Doesn't fly off the handle. Doesn't keep score of the sins of others. Doesn't revel when others grovel. Takes pleasure in the flowering of truth. Puts up with anything. Trusts God always. Always looks for the best. Never looks back. But keeps going to the end. Love never dies. Heard that in the message. Love cares more for others than for self. Isn't always me first. It's the opposite of our selfish nature. And Paul would even go further to say that this is the greatest spiritual gift we could ever have. We've been studying 1 Corinthians together as a Bible study, and as we were reading through the letter to the church in Corinth, you have this whole section on spiritual gifts. And then you move into chapter 13, straight from that. And Paul would say this is the greatest spiritual gift that we can have, is to love one another. It is only by the power of love found in Jesus Christ that we can learn to share and to give of ourselves. In fact, Jesus said that if we try to hoard our lives, we end up losing our lives. This comes from Gospel of Mark, chapter 8. All who want to come after me must say no to themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. All who want to save their lives will lose them. But all who lose their lives because of me and because of the good news will save them. He was saying that living selfishly will actually produce death. How many of you came here today to hear some good news? To hear good news, that's why we worship. We want to hear good news. We don't want to live in this selfish desire of ourselves. We want to share that with others. He was saying that living selfishly will actually produce death. It will steal our joy. It will steal our fulfillment. And in the process, steal our lives. However, in the great reversal of life in Christ, we find abundant life. When we take up our cross and follow Jesus, we understand the meaning of true love. And it is only true, unconditional, sacrificial love that brings life. Life in all of its what? Fullness, full of joy. A life that wants to share and give out of the abundance of love that we have in our hearts. Most commonly quoted verse is what verse do you think in the Bible? John what? 3:16. For God so loved the world that he did what? Gave his only son. That everyone who believes in him won't perish but shall have eternal life. The early church lived out this kind of love. The book of Acts, it's the history book. That's what you guys are studying, right, Phil and Susie? The book of Acts. The book of Acts is the history book of the New Testament and gives us a description of the very first church. And I love to read through those stories. This was the original community of followers of Jesus Christ right after the Pentecost. And we know from Pentecost that how many people came to the Lord. We know from that story that at least 2,000 people came to be a part of the community. And this section comes from Acts 2, beginning with verse 42. And this is a glimpse of the early community. We get a glimpse that they are taking up their cross and that they are following Jesus. And they, in the result, they become some of the most loving, giving people you could ever imagine. And so I want to go to verse 42, and let's read this together and look at this. The believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the community, to their shared meals, and to their prayers. A sense of awe came over everyone. God performed many wonders and signs through the apostles. All the believers were united and shared everything. They would sell pieces of property and possessions and distribute the proceeds to everyone who needed them. Every day they met together in the temple, and they ate in their homes. They shared food with what? Gladness and simplicity. They praised God and demonstrated God's goodness to everyone. The Lord added daily to the community those who were being saved. According to some scholars, by the time we hear of this community, there could have been at least 6,000 people in a part of this early church, this early group of gathered people following Jesus Christ. And the Lord added daily, right? Because of all of the awe that was coming on them, the way they were living their life, sharing their joy. And people wanted to see that. People wanted to be a part of that. And the Lord added to their numbers every day. We hear that the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the community, to their shared meals, and to their prayers. They were teaching the doctrines. The disciples were teaching the new followers the ways of Jesus. They were in prayer and fellowship, hanging out with one another, sharing their meals and breaking bread together, enjoying being with each other. They were eating some carbs together, church, sharing a table, probably with a bottle of wine, if I were to be really transparent. I love this church. Eating carbs and sharing a table together. Who wouldn't want that? Who wouldn't want that? Do you know what the number one common denominator is when we gather as Christians? Food. Right? Food. We gather together to share fellowship with one another. Who wouldn't want that? Said all the believers were united and shared everything. They would sell pieces of property and possessions and distribute proceeds to everyone who needed them. So what did that mean? So there were people who had an abundance and there were people who had nothing who were coming to be a part of this community. And out of the love that they had for one another, they would see a need. And if they couldn't immediately fulfill it, they would sell something of their own so that they could produce what they needed to be able to provide for that family. How beautiful is that? How loving is that? Why were they sharing so much? Was it because Peter and John were doing sermon series on the three basic steps of denying themselves and following Jesus? No, it was because of the love that they had for one another. It was because they were loving like Jesus. They found the joy that comes in the sharing in the midst of this community with one another. I was having coffee with someone this last week, and he shared a story with me that I asked if I could share with you today. He was in college, and he was exploring different worship communities. He had grown up in a certain worship community, and he was in that college moment. He was trying to explore as much as he possibly could, and he attended a church worship service that was very different than his own background. But they did have a common thing that he recognized in his own church was this time of giving, or what we call in the Methodist church the time of offering, right? And so they passed around the plate or the basket, and they each contributed in, and he did as well. And there was a single woman who was up on the front row, and she had 5 young children with her that day. And when the offering was brought forward to the pastor lifted it up, and he walked the offering over to this woman who was sitting on the front row, and he said, "I don't know how much is in here, but the church is giving it to you today." And he said, "I don't want to know how you spend it, but I can tell you why we're giving it. We're giving it because we want to help you provide for your children." He said the woman just wept. And it made such a lasting impact that he could remember almost every detail 15 years later. He said it was the first time he really understood what it meant to share. And it brought him such joy to experience that moment. The early church shared with gladness and simplicity. You can think of people who do this well, right? You can think of people in your own life that share just automatically from their heart. As my family would say, they'd give the shirt right off their back. I've actually seen this happen, only it wasn't a shirt, it was shoes. We were in Juarez, Mexico, in a church that I served previously, and we were on a mission trip, and we were building concrete homes for people who were homeless in Juarez, Mexico. And there was a young man who walked up to us as a part of that, and his shoes were literally falling apart on his feet. They were just taped and tied as best they possibly could. And one of the church members stopped, asked the guy what shoe size he wore, recognized that he had the same shoe size, and took the shoes off his own feet and put them on him. As I was remembering this, tears just kind of came to my eyes, because that was the power of the Holy Spirit and the joy that they shared when they were trading shoes. It was a beautiful moment. What can we learn from the early church, Salem? What can we learn from the early church? That sharing is what? From our love. It's from our love. To love like Jesus is an outward healthy habit. Sharing brings gladness and joy in our own hearts and souls. And sharing can be simple. In fact, the healthiest of habits are those simple things that we do in our life that bring us joy. I'm going to share one way that I have developed a healthy habit of sharing that is very simple, and it brings me such joy. I get, once a month, I get these little makeup bags full of makeup in the mail. And I take the makeup out and use it, of course, but then I take these bags that are just extra, and I fill them with some items. A bottle of water, wash rag, some crackers and peanut butter, some tuna, some hand sanitizer, things like that. And I put them in my car. And I've shared with you before, I don't give cash out of my car, but I will give this out of my car. The smiles and the thank yous and the gratitude. I've seen just a couple this week that have pulled that water out immediately and started to drink it and thanked me. This brings me such joy, church, and this is so simple. There are things in your life that are just simply a part of your nature, and that's the joy and the giving that Christ has given you, and it is because of the love that Christ has put in you and for the love that you are sharing outwardly. Amen? Let's go be more like Jesus this week. Let's love like Jesus. I'm going to invite the band up for our closing song. And as they come forward, let's pray together. Good and gracious God, help us. This is not our nature, God. Help us. Fill us more each and every day with your love. Because when we do lean into you and you fill us more with love each day, then it does become more of our nature. Forgive us for when we fail you in the midst of all of it. Forgive us for those moments that we have that we think, I need this, this is mine. When you could just press hard onto our hearts and souls that we don't need it. That we can share of ourselves your good news. We pray this in the name of Jesus, and all God's children said, amen.